Yep. Do it.
Yeah, all set there. Okay. One, oh, three, two. I can't remember how it even starts.
You need to write
Do
3, 2,
you know
1.
what? I was so tired. I had a sleep before we came to the podcast. I was just like, whoa, I need to have a sleep. Look at
There you are,
Nick.
written in the
He's
script.
on the ball. He's now reminding me how to start my own podcast. Oh dear. 3, 2, 1. Welcome, dear listeners. This is episode 107 of the Devon Dice podcast, recorded on the 24th of September, 2023. In this podcast, we'll be doing the usual news, crowdfunding, the games we've played, and maybe have some hints to what's coming up at Essen Spiel. I'm your host, Joel Wright, of this podcast, and joining me tonight is Nick Shaw, the podcast resident board game designer and link master.
Hello, everybody.
And Sam, I saw your comments earlier, the master of challenges and the podcast IT guy.
And he's highly offended by that title.
I do not answer to grave insults.
I only done that because I got emails of like you changing the scripts last time, and you was like, "Oh, you won't even notice it's changed." So I thought I'd change that to see if you noticed it.
Joke's on you. We noticed.
I saw your comments earlier, so it's funny. No. Master of the Clank universe and the podcast IT guy. That's our Sam.
Hello, everybody.
Anyway.
And my Clank reign continues. I managed to play it again since we last recorded. And yeah, I won. So normality is resumed.
That's good. Just to remind you that we have a new website. Well, not new website. Old website address. New fashion, new style. Sam is working tirelessly behind the scenes when he's not being working on stuff that he's getting paid for. So thanks, Sam, again.
Yeah, which basically means it is changing, but very, very gradually.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I was hoping to do a couple more things, but I've been so busy at work that I'm just at a time with the capacity. So, So things might have to wait until after Essen. Because that's slowly creeping up, as we'll talk about later. Or quickly creeping up, it does, yeah.
Not wrong now, yeah.
It isn't. So, in the news, not a lot of news. We've got more crowdfunding than news this evening. So, there's been a massive discussion everywhere on social media, especially Twitter, or X, as it is now. And about AI being used to do art in board games. Yeah, this might be a lengthy discussion, or it might just be a couple of seconds and we're done.
So this came up with the Terraforming Mars Kickstarter. So caveat that I was involved in that in the design of the solo mode, not in any decisions to do with the artwork. So I'm not linked to that specifically. But it came up because Kickstarter, as of 31st of August, now require content creators of Kickstarter projects to state whether or not they are using AI in their projects and to what level they're using it. And Stronghold declared that at the bottom there. And I've seen a few other Kickstarters which have declared it at the bottom. So it is now a thing that will have to be declared if they're using it. And that, kicked off huge discussions on every social media platform, I could see.
Yeah. Well, like I said, some content creators have already stated, especially one in particular, has stated they will not have anything to do with it, because it's bad for the artists of board games in many sense. But it's one of those things. I'm not saying it's a good thing, I'm not saying it's a bad thing, I'm not trying to try and fight for it. It's a tool at the end of the day, and I think if it's used in the correct manner, then it can be good in many sense. I mean, I use AI for writing, things like that, because if I stuck up stuff on the website, and you probably saw it previously if you kept up to date with it, like before I started using AI, I used to have to get my wife to check it over, because of my dyslexia, I'm a terrible writer. It's appalling. But I use AI to basically clean up my writing, make it readable, make it more kind of appealing to the eyes, and it works. I have to do a lot of work for it, but
yeah.
And I think that's conflating a couple of different arguments into yeah. one a little bit. I think in terms of AI, I mean that's a huge topic anyway. Mm. But I think if we keep it to the specifics of projects or publishers using AI for the purposes of essentially component creation, robust discussions yeah. kind of started, isn't it? And I can see it in both ways. One is that when you've got a game like Terraforming Mars, and quite frankly, now that they have to declare that they are using it, I can see it all makes sense why I don't like the look of it, because it's all been made from AI pretty much from the start, it feels like. And also they just kind of like run out of ideas a little bit, that, you know, because they're just churning out so much content that this is the reason they probably used it. And it's all done in-house by the Fricks brothers, isn't it, I think? So, you know, the artist of the game is one of the family that published the game. So it's a little bit different, I think, in terms of that particular instance, purely because they've never really employed game artists, like, you know, they've never used Vincent Detrait or anybody to do artwork. The argument, I guess, is that it's saying, well, because they're doing it, others will do it, and that means that suddenly the likes of Ian O'Toole and stuff will get less work. Well, I don't really think that's the case, really. What I would say is a danger is that if they do start doing that more, then artists that would otherwise try and get into the business don't have an avenue anymore, because that kind of the sort of people that would use the AI to generate imagery are likely to use it for that purpose and not use like a budding new artist. So the avenue for them to get into the industry is cut off. And also the argument would be if they are using AI, then I would expect to see a drop in the cost of the game production as a result, because one of the main costs of a large component of the cost of producing a game tends to be the artwork, especially if you've got a very art-heavy game. So I'd be very disappointed if they charge the same sort of RRP on a game with AI that a game that's been professionally illustrated. I think that's where I'd have a big argument.
I mean, I see what you're saying on that. But you know as well as I know that program the AI to turn out what you want, in your mind's eye, can actually be a really difficult, long-winded task, can't it? So, it still takes someone to type in the commands and say, I want a landscape scenery with birds flying over and a rhinoceros charging at you kind of thing, but done in the style of this. And it will turn out, probably if some of them, they turn out several versions of you and of it, and you can pick and say, oh, that one will do. But if there's some specific kind of image you're after, sometimes it never gets it, or it takes a long time to get to that point. So there's still time consumed into creating the art, because it just doesn't happen, does it?
Which again comes back to the argument of the likes of Terraforming Mars using it, because ultimately they don't care about how it looks, in my opinion. It's always looked like dirt to some degree, and they don't care. That's enough. It's enough for them. It's horses for courses to some degree, I suppose. I don't think it's right or wrong. The issue really is, like, because the key bit you said there was in the style of, and I think if they're saying, you know, if they use an AI to sort of generate art in the style of Vincent Detrait, for instance, that's a little bit, that's very on the nose, isn't it? That's definitely something. And there are, I mean, it's less a thing, I would say, with some of the artists that are involved in board gaming, but certainly it's happening in authorship, in writing, where people are creating sort of like, inverted commas, original works by saying, telling the AI to write it in the style of George R. R. Martin or something.
Yeah.
There are books, ebooks on Amazon being sold right now that are AI generated, that are using that very concept of being written in the style of, or even have the author's name and they haven't even written it. So that's the kind of major, that's a major bit, isn't it?
Yeah. Oh yeah, I mean that is, I mean almost that's classes fraud in a way.
And that is what a lot of the arguments are, is that the training sets that some of the AI engines are using have used image sets from. Are you actually laughing at my picture?
Yeah, Nick just done one. Literally what I just said.
And actually, to be fair, the rhino with the birds flying over on a savannah backdrop, it looks incredibly convincing.
It does, doesn't it?
So you can tell that this is a you know, apart from a couple of the birds look a little bit like aliens. But you know, you can trim that
a bit
up.
Of touch up, and that would
a bit of refinement.
I was about to say, Nick's just proved that you can literally make what I just said in like less than a minute by the looks of it. So, all right.
That was the Bing's image generator. I think the main key argument that this ends up having is, are the training sets being used copyrighted images? Which in a lot of the cases they are. And then it's a question of, is this fair use under copyright law, or is it actually copyright theft? And that is something that legally has not been discussed yet, has not been determined in any courts of law. It is becoming more so because there are people, as you said, people like George R. R. Martin who are suing certain people for copying his style and training their text sets on copyrighted works of fiction. And so is taking a copy of an image and then pushing that into a diffusion generator, which generates the trains the AI to then create things in the style of, is that copyright theft? And that's a very, very difficult question, which the courts of, there is no precedent in the courts of law on how to determine that.
No. I mean, if they're creating art and they're not saying do it the same as Ian O'Toole, I mean, Ian O'Toole is quite difficult to copy because his styles are so vast. But Vincent Detrait, you look at a Vincent Detrait board game cover, you instantly know it's Vincent Detrait. I was like, yeah, that's him. Because he has only one set of artwork style. So if you said, if you just told the program, just do this image, and it turned out something, that's fine. But if it did say, yeah, Vincent Detrait style, and it came out and it looked pretty accurate, then I think they do have a clause that they could sue, couldn't they? Because they do have copyright on their style. No, they don't.
And it depends on what copyright they've put on the images that are publicly available on the internet. And it's a very, very complicated issue. I don't know how you would decide it. But certainly some of the generative AI packages like Midjourney have been sued. Outside of board gaming, this is just in general because of this. Those haven't really been resolved properly yet.
It's one of those where technology's just overshot us again. And people are a bit shocked, I think. And they don't know.
But it still does need that human input because, as you said, with the one I generated just now, the birds look a bit alien. You have to have someone to go in and touch it up. So it's not simply a case of put in a prompt, you get a perfect result. However, give it 5 years, we may well be at that point where it looks so realistic in artwork terms that you can't tell that it's human or an AI. And where do you draw that line?
Yeah, I mean, it was interesting because Watch It Played, Rodney put a couple of short videos on Twitter, kind of not for it, not against it. He's trying to get it in his head of like how he feels about it and just kind of voicing his thoughts. And then in the comments towards it, it was interesting. Tony Topper from Secret Cabal podcast was actually kind of fighting for the AI because he works for Google. So he's like, well, most of this is my company. So I need to try and fight for have someone to fight for it. And then he actually posted a couple of good videos of a lawyer talking about AI copying artwork, or not copying artwork, but AI being used in artwork and things like that. So yeah, I'll have to dig those out again. But they were quite interesting, what he was coming up with.
But if people want to join in the conversation, there are many threads on many platforms, but there's one on BGG under the general gaming forum. I'm sure you'll find it's already got 18 pages of comments on it. Lots and lots of links, lots of people with a lot more information and knowledge about this than we have. So it's well worth, if you're interested, having a read through all of those on both sides of the argument.
See, Nick's just tried to do one in Vincent de Trait with a rhino. And I wonder whether it's got it confused with Vincent. Is it Vincent van Gogh? Yeah.
Oh, yes, very likely, because I don't think that there'll be anywhere near enough images from Vincent de Trait tagged.
It's really nice. I could put that on my wall.
But it has added brush strokes, which is, it just looks amazing.
It does.
But that's with where we are now. And, you know, as I said, give it 5 years. That'll be.
I'll put these up on the Facebook. That really confused people until they listen.
Yeah, just random pictures of rhino.
yeah. So yeah, not for it, not against it. I mean, I use AI. I've been playing around with it. You can see Nick's been playing around with it. I mean, but yeah, it's one of those things. I think people are worried that it's just going to put a industry out of work.
And maybe because it's so easy, it's not going away, and then so we'll have to start dealing with it in some way and working out how to work with it there, either by, as you say, just blanket saying no, I'm not interested in it, or by working out how to integrate that into the artist and illustrator.
I mean, there's a whole different scope. So, like, people that do fan art of like comic books, but do it in Star Wars and things like that. And is that the same thing? Will Marvel start coming after people that do endless pictures of Spider-Man kind of thing in their own work? I don't know.
And that's the danger of having a court case to say that you can't copy a style, because then that opens up a lot of art illustrators who legitimately make a lot of money from doing styles. Whether they copy or not, you could then just say, well, that is a very similar style to me and I've got a copyright on it.
What about all the people that go into art galleries and copy actual, like, the old masters and then sell them as copies, kind of?
Some of which people do amazing, accurate copies, really incredible copies. Them selling it on is then another issue of should they be allowed to do that, but...
Well, that's kind of like almost like the Creative Commons kind of thing, isn't it? I'm not sure if that applies with artwork, but I suspect it may well do. And if there was to be an issue like that, they would kind of use it in the same way as it does with, like, published books and stuff. Once it's over a certain period of time, then it becomes open license. And I could see that being the case. You know, why shouldn't somebody try and emulate the style of Vincent van Gogh or Picasso, for instance? As long as they're not trying to claim it's a unique art style or something, then that's fine, isn't it? In the same way as people can publish their own works of, you know, that's why Cthulhu, for instance, is a huge theme in board games. It's exactly the same kind of principle.
Yes, because it's in the public domain now.
But I think it would be clearly an idiotic thing to try and go, oh, I'm gonna make all my AI artwork like Vincent de Trait and just undercut it. I'll just say, oh yeah, whatever Vincent charges you, I'll charge you 50% less. And just generate the same style. I think that would be quite an easy argument to have in court, probably.
Yep.
Definitely. Moving on, Lucky Duck Games has announced a one-off reprint of Food Chain Magnate. So basically the visuals upgrade and component upgrade. And it will have the... It will have the Ketchup expansion in it as well. I do love that name. That is like one of the best expansions.
That was a real, we can't think of a decent name. We'll just call it this.
I don't know. I wonder if someone sat on that for a long time and said, I want to use ketchup as catch-up mechanic.
A ketchup mechanic, yeah.
But anyway, so yeah, this is interesting. I've only played the game once and I quite liked it, but it is one of those games that you like, you're either going to do really badly on because you don't know what you're doing, or you need to play it loads to get used to it. So yeah, and the one I played it, I placed my first shop in a really bad location. And then Michael started advertising burgers on the radio, and I was not in the vicinity of that. And it was just like, great. Thanks.
I've got no idea what that means, but it's kind of making me chuckle. I think the one thing I've always thought with Food Chain Magnate is it is with most splatter games that they just look terrible. And I know mm-hmm. that essentially most people don't care. Yeah. The people that like splatter games don't care. Yeah. And that's absolutely fine. But for me, one of the main things that makes me want to play a game is generally how it looks and what the visual appeal of it is when I'm playing it. And this new version already looks infinitely better than the original. So I would be much more inclined to play it with the special edition than I would the original version, for sure.
Mm. I mean,
seems to
kind of
the card art evokes the 50s kind of growth in food.
It's got a really nice look to the...
Yeah.
Certainly a lot better than the...
It matches the theme a lot better as well, that's the thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, even I'm inclined to actually probably pick up a copy.
Yeah. And there you go. That's a prime example of how artwork matters.
And this is a one-off as well. This is just on crowdfunding on GameFound in November. Yeah. It won't be interesting. Retail, this version.
They're also doing Yokohama as well.
Yokohama. Yeah, this is an updated... I think it's an updated art version. With
Synapsis
Games, look good as well because they're doing this like dual layer board and stuff. Just another graphical overhaul again.
It's another one that looks much better than the original, in my opinion. Yeah,
this one looks a lot cleaner.
I think the original one kind of had the benefit of looking a bit more kind of it was unique at the time, it had a unique style at the time. But I think when Was it AEG that published it originally? Can't remember. Tasty Minstrel.
That's it.
As a TNG, was it?
Yeah, when they published it, they essentially published the same graphical art style as the original Japanese one, didn't they?
And it was right.
It was fine, but it was functional and it kind of had that unique, kind of very colourful look to it. But I think this new version looks like it was just modernising it and making it feel more current, which is nice.
So they actually did a Kickstarter for a Dulux edition just before they went bust as well. So I don't know.
Did they?
I don't know if backers got their money back for that or not.
I would doubt it if they went bust.
No, they're technically not gone bust. They've stopped making and selling games.
They're still doing their dice and things, aren't they?
Dice and So they're still operating like that, but games and everything, they've just got rid of. Weird. But
yeah, they look nice. I like those.
Definitely. Moving on to crowdfunding. So, a lot of this is on Kickstarter. Maybe one or two on... GameFound.
It's gone crazy on the crowdfunding world. Yeah. I'm going to start this off with what I labeled as how to milk the cash cow. So this is... Everdell Cozy Critters Blankets and Plushies. So these are, as the name suggests, little plushy animals and blankets illustrated with some of the artwork from Everdell. So this isn't a game. This is just based on the artwork and the characters, which are beautiful. They are beautiful illustrations. And this is up on Kickstarter. It looks like it might have actually just finished as well. So you might have to go into late backing if you want any of these. They're very cute little plushy animals. And then they've taken a lot of the really nice artwork from a number of the characters to put on blankets. And you can get a copy of all the games with various expansions.
And this is another fantastic example of why artwork matters, at least for the business side of game
because it is just it's beautiful artwork. I love Everdell's
artwork. I'd bet you that a significant proportion of the sales of Everdell and the popularity of Everdell is largely down to how it looks, the Andrew Bosley artwork, and the these plushies and stuff are all feed straight from that. And the people that love Everdell love the artwork, and that will sell more things because they love the artwork, won't they? So again, artwork matters, folks. Artwork
this is a thing. I mean, it's a consistency, isn't it? When you've got one person doing artwork, they have a consistency over do it. You try and train AI, and it will vary from time to time. So this is one reason why you get an artist to do the work.
The other good thing about this particular project, though, just as it's a shame it's kind of timed out now, literally just ended a day ago or something. Is that it's one of the few places you could probably get a significant discount on the Everdell Complete Collection as well. $202 instead of $350. That's a heck of a saving.
Which is a huge saving on the big box.
Yeah. That's about 150 quid. Yeah. Which actually it sounds a lot, but for everything Everdell, that's pretty incredible.
That is.
Yeah. And because of that, I bet they won't do a late pledge for it with those discounts. But they might do. You never know.
That's a shame. Well done, Nick.
I found that too late. I think I found that just after the last episode. So it was,
We brought it to attention on our Discord server well before it finished. So if you're interested in our discussions about Kickstarters, come join the server.
Definitely.
Indeed. So on another one where artwork is very important, this is Creature Caravan by Red Raven Games, and obviously illustrated and designed by Ryan Luckett.
And this one is still running for another 15 days.
Is indeed. And they're doing well. They've got $200,000 already of their pledge.
Yeah. It's kind of very similar, isn't it? It's, again, the same thing, impact of... Because when I started, collecting them, because it's got that unique art style and consistent art style. So.
And Creature Caravan, I believe, is... I think Ryan said is a kind of a reworking of Artifacts Inc., which... was one of his very early games, which I still have a copy of, actually. It's quite fun. A lighter game than his other ones. This one looks cute and obviously has beautiful artwork. At the same time, they're also doing a second or Emerald edition of Islebound. So kind of a redoing of that version of that game. And they're also releasing an RPG as well at the time called The World of Azure. World of Arzium. That's a difficult word to say. Which is an RPG that Ryan and his wife have written. So that is a lot of really nice stuff. There's also a little roll and write game called Crystal Miners as well, which is being given free if you back. So if you like free print and play roll and writes, then you can jump in on that for a low price. Looks very nice.
Actually, the most interesting part of that for me is the not that I'd want to play it necessarily myself, but the fact that they're doing an RPG based in the worlds of Islebound, Above and Below, and stuff. That feels like a no-brainer. They've invented this universe with all these different characters and
there
races.
There are some videos of playthroughs of that as well, if you want to see what it's like. So it's not just going in blind.
Yeah, so it's very interesting.
Yeah. Who wants to take the next one?
Oh, this is Sam's mate, so I think he should take it.
Oh, yeah. So Postmark Games, Rory, friend of the show. Hi, Rory, if you're listening. They've released on Kickstarter a new game called Battle Card, which is a solitary roll and write from David Thompson and Nils Johansson. David Thompson being the designer of... help me, Nick.
Many war games, Imperium.
Done many,
Imperium, amongst a bunch of others. But it looks not my kind of thing, generally speaking. But actually, when you look at it, you think, actually, this looks... Because it's sort of... I suspect that Rory's done the graphic design for it. It looks fantastic. It's just like the graphic design's really smart. It looks like you kind of... Basically, it's a solo kind of battle of history. World War II, I guess, in this one, isn't it? And each there's going to be looks like there's five they've kind of assigned depending on the first series. So there's going to be five individual battles that you can play through as part of this kind of roll and write kind of style system. Yeah,
looks, I was wrong there. It's not Imperium, it's Undaunted. That's the one.
Undaunted, that's the one. Yeah. That's the one. Yeah, of course. Yeah, so you know, a very established World War II.
Indeed. Sort of, yeah, he's done based a lot.
Designer. Yeah. But yeah, it's just, again, not really my kind of thing, but it looks. But I say that, I might well, you know, for
it's a cute little
cost of a fiver.
Role light. Yeah, indeed, for that price.
I think it's a really interesting little niche in the market that Postmark are sort of going for, is this kind of cheap. You basically buy the files and you can print them off. Quite an interesting way of doing it.
And it's certainly very cost effective for them, because they pay for the graphic design, the artwork and the design, and that's it. There's no shipping, there's no logistics.
Like I said, I'm pretty sure that knowing that Rory is himself a graphic designer, I suspect he's doing the graphic design, and therefore his share of the income from the sales goes to him on that basis, I would have thought.
So
it's fantastic. And it seems like it seems to be working for them. I don't know what this one's doing. 10,000 of a goal of 1,000. So,
yes, considering that's a pledge of $5 per pledge, that's pretty good. 2,500 backers. So that has 6 days to go at time of recording.
Yeah, so I've just backed it. You reminded me.
Nice.
When I saw him announce it on Twitter or X, I was actually quite excited about that, because David Thompson. Very well, good, very knowledgeable about his Second World War, maybe even First World War, and that. So,
yes, strikes me as the kind of guy that probably knows quite a bit about all of them. So, I'll be interested. I think there's a series one, they're clearly obviously planning on more. So, I could easily see it being something that they go, there could be a Vietnam series, for instance, or again, it's very extendable, isn't it, in terms of the arenas that they could end up fighting and having these kind of scenarios in.
You lost the other picture.
Yeah.
Nick's just proving the point via our Discord server of why AI art generally won't work.
We'll put that one up as well, because it is.
Yeah, I think what we'll have to do is we'll do a little blog post about our AI discussion maybe, and post some of these in here, because I think it would be worth it.
Yes,
definitely.
Why you need a proper artist on the project.
Yeah, we're all going to have nightmares based on the last one, is all I'll say.
Yeah, this is Microsoft Bing's image creator, which is powered by DALL-E.
Oh, yeah. Yep, I've used that a little bit as well. Final Girl Series 3. Again, this is another Nick one. I am interested in Final Girl games, but because they're solo, it's just like...
They are solo, yeah. So, and they are very popular. Final Girl is very popular along the solo community. It's not a style that I particularly like, the world it's set in. Kind of grungy.
Kind of 80s era, kind of 80s, 90s kind of...
80s, 90s kind of horror genre type thing. Yeah. But it's very, very popular. This Series 3, so this is the third in the series, and it's made almost... it was over $1 million now it's made, which is quite amazing for this style game. And it's new.
It's kind of a completist kind of thing, isn't it? Secret Cabal call it junky behavior. I think this is a junky game, Final Girl.
It's more
in
the style.
The people that love it are going to get the whole lot, because they want them all on the bookshelf.
When you get miniatures and stuff, and word, there's a lot of stuff there.
Yeah.
This just looks like a good one, a popular one. The buy-in is $20. I think it's hard to tell what's actually the game and what's not on there. The lowest pledge level is $20. Or you can get the whole lot for $179. So it's
it's basically good riffs on old 80s, 90s. Movies. I think there's Terminator and Stranger Things. They got Razorface.
It's got Halloween and that kind of stuff.
I think Razorface is kind of meant to be. Was it Nail Face? What's in Pin Face? Pinhead. That's it.
Cenobites and stuff.
So it's all riffs on that. So if you don't know what Final Girl is, basically, it's a solo game. where you're rolling dice, and you are the last surviving female being hunted down by like the known killer of the movie, and you are in the final stages of the movie, and you're just trying to survive or kill it or escape and things like that. Yeah, people love it.
It's a really clever idea, I think, for if you're going to do that kind of game. It's a really clever idea because it's a very common, as we can see, very common 80s and 90s cinema trope of you know, these kind of slasher type movies and stuff. So it's really clever. I think it's a really clever theming idea for it, and the amount of stuff they made, the content they generate for it that seems to be actually really good quality is amazing.
Yeah,
not my kind of thing, but no, I appreciate it.
I like the sound of it, but the thing with like solo is like, I just feel like, oh, if I'm going to play solo, I might as well just turn on the Xbox and play Starfield.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
It's one of those things, like, I've done Witcher of the Old World. Yeah. I've done that solo, and that took me like 5 hours. I was learning the rules as I was going, but I was just like, I'd rather spend 5 hours actually playing Witcher 3 than doing this. Because I get more of the story, I get more out of it. So it's one of those things. Solo, not for me in board games at the minute. But so yeah, but others it is. Because
maybe when I'm retired and have no friends and I'm in a nursing home, then I'll be wanting the solo games.
Oh, imagine that!
Brilliant.
I'll be getting the I'd get the hose pipe out, but unfortunately I can't because there'll be electric cars by then. I won't be able to generate any carbon monoxide for myself.
I understand what you mean. I was like, where's the hose pipe out? Right.
On that dark note, let's go to the next one.
Yeah, come on, Nick. This is another one of yours.
This is Sam's one.
Yeah, so the next one. Yeah, next one is Kavango, which is a one of those... In the line of those animal conservation, natural world kind of games. And this one, I remember being at UK Games Expo, I saw people carrying copies around, and it turned out that they're kind of like preview, prototype-y, or pre-production demo copies, essentially. Because I remember seeing it thinking, oh, where's that? That looks interesting, and wanting to go and find it. But they were just showing it off. The publishers were showing it off before they launched it on Kickstarter. And this one is all essentially about running animal conservation. It's pretty much it, really. imagine a little bit. It's an easy example. You sort of say it's Wingspan, but with multiple animals, really, which is essentially kind of in a very arbitrary way is what it is. In a sense, you're putting this kind of tableau of an ecosystem, essentially, where you're kind of like conserving these different creatures. I'm not going to go into any more depth on the play of it because I don't actually know it well enough to do that. I eat with my eyes, as you well know, folks, and I just like the look of it because it's loads and loads of cards and they've all got lovely illustrations of animals on them. Kind of all I needed to know about, really. It's kind of got like it's got that kind of same thing if you play certain animals with certain things, it triggers other thing, triggers other abilities on other animals and stuff. I think the only thing I've seen as a comment, and it certainly looked that way when I saw it at UK Games Expo, is it can be a bit of a table hog. Not only in terms of like Ark Nova's a table hog because you've got like a big thing in the middle and stuff, but everyone's got their own tableau and the tableau is huge. Mm-hmm. It's like the size of a table for each player, essentially. So I'm not quite sure how it would fit on most people's tables. So I'll have to watch some demos and stuff. But the one thing I like about it is that one thing I like quite a lot about it, I like the artwork and stuff. But as with most projects, they've got like a retail and they've got a deluxe edition. And the deluxe edition's got these lovely cardboard trays and stuff that are actually kind of like organizers within the box, but also organizers on the table as well, which I quite like. It's not just stuff to store. It's kind of like they're actual trays that come out and sit next to the board and stuff. So it's all nice. And again, they've sort of taken the lessons of Wingspan a little, I guess, and used some of that in their design.
And it's a reasonable price, especially the deluxe is £69, which is...
Yeah, I think that's not unfair.
That's very good for a deluxe version of something, yeah. Or £49 for the base pledge.
And it comes with like cloth bags and wooden tokens and all that sort of stuff. Yeah. So yeah, it's really good. At the moment, it's running at about £80,000 with best part of a month to go. So I can see this one doing quite well once it's built up some steam.
Yeah, very good.
I'm kind of on the fence purely because I've spent so much on Kickstarters lately that I can't quite justify just jumping onto something, but yeah. We'll see.
So moving on to another nature-themed game. This is Canopy Evergreen. And this is coming from... who's the publisher of this one? Weird City Games is publishing this. So this is a reimagining, I think, of the original Canopy game, which came out a few years ago. And again, this is nature-themed. It's beautiful artwork. And you are attracting wildlife to your area. You're growing your forest, trying to build your ecosystem up. And the changes, apparently, for the Evergreen version is that you can actually build the forest with actual little 3D trees as you go. And it's looking like a decent, again, price decent-wise is the retail edition of $40. Or the deluxe edition, $55. Again, very nice. I'm not sure what the deluxe has. I'm going to have a quick check to see. The retail does come with the 3D trees.
Wooden tokens, wooden ecosystem tiles, deluxe box with art back and die cut punch board.
Scroll down enough on the page. Oh, it's a long way down the page. So it has a deluxe box with more artwork, custom punch board range maps. It's got 3D, not 3D, but heat transfer animal tokens with very pretty art on, things like that. But yeah, so I don't know much about the original Canopy. I'm sure I watched a preview of it at some point, but I can't remember that one. But this is basically, it's the same game, but with extra stuff on it to do more. But this looks very pretty. It's doing quite well.
Mm. I've got a copy of Canopy sat on my shelf. I've only managed to play it once, and we only managed to play about half a game. Yeah, that was... again, it's one of those, I love the artwork on it because it's just, again, stunning natural world kind of artwork. Canopy as a card game just felt like it was, you end up with these just piles and piles of cards in front of you, and it's one of those games that I'm always thinking I'm playing it wrong somehow, but I'm not entirely sure how. I like the fact that this one's got more of a board presence and stuff, so it's not just okay, I'll put this card here.
Yes,
I think this feels a little bit more a little bit more structure to it, which might be quite nice.
Very good.
But yeah, the Vincent Detrait artwork is really nice. I wouldn't have put it as... I didn't realise it was Vincent Detrait at first. And now I see his name there. I'm like, oh, yeah, okay, that makes sense. I can see that with the other version of Canopy I've got. Yeah. So, yeah. I think I'm much too used to seeing his artwork as, like, just dudes. What you call it?
Cowboy
kind of ones and, you know...
No, it's nice. It's really good. Next on the list we have is Bone Wars from The Game Brewer. This is a game of reliving the great dinosaur rush of archaeology, presumably around, I assume it's set in the 20s or so. This just, I saw this pop up a lot of times on my Facebook feed as adverts, and I've seen a few playthroughs of it. And it looks like a nice little game of archaeology. Trying to work your way through exploring, setting up your camps, and then digging up the old dinosaur bones to create a full dinosaur skeleton. It's interesting, it only has a single pledge. This is a game found for €115, and that's the deluxe all in. So it's just a one pledge, and that's it. It's the deluxe, that's what you get.
Choose pricey, the others, but it's a weird game found thing. So if you click the choose rewards,
not,
you can choose
many,
one of the cheap ones.
Not any actual shaped dinosaur bones. That's what you want. But some nice stuff in there. Oh, there's more later on. Yeah, so you can actually, there are standard edition. There is a 55. The default pledge. Yeah, the default pledge level is the deluxe. So you can buy the standard edition for $55. That's one thing with game found is that it does hide the pledge levels for you, doesn't it? Until you.
I was going to say, I think it's kind of given you. I think it seems like it gives you options for like being a bit sly about how to upsell your kind of better versions or something.
Yeah.
Because some projects will have like the Kickstarter style where it's like the cheapest at the top and then work your way down. I'm assuming it's like if you create a project, it's presumably got the option of how do you want to present your pledges. And this one's chosen to say, give it the all in and then, or make
just
it a bit harder.
The featured one on the side.
Yeah. Mm. we'll see. But
yeah, so this looks like a nice one. It's a theme I like. It's yeah. kind of a fun theme.
I'm hoping someone else backs it, because otherwise I'll have to, and I don't really want to give it again the expense of all the other stuff.
It's
I've
one
been
of those
backing,
buy maybe. Before you buy, is it, do you think? Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I love the idea of the dinosaurs, yep, all in, and I like the sort of science-y aspect of it all. And being competitive as well is just really nice. And the artwork looks really good, so yeah. I want it, yeah. but I just can't quite justify it right now.
Yep. Yeah, I'll skim things down a bit. I'm going to skim some of these off. So the next one is Theme Park Mania. Whose was this one?
That was mine. Yeah, this is actually... I put this on there because it keeps popping up on my social media. And I've looked at it, and I keep looking at it. It's probably the closest thing we'll get to something like Theme Park, the video game. So the idea is first you build paths and rail tracks and things, and then you add in the rides, and once all the rides have been added in, the park opens up and you start scoring points of who goes on rides and things like that. Something like that. It sounds quite good. I'm waiting for Essen because it's being demoed at Essen, and I will have a play or have a look at it there and then see whether I'm going to back it when I'm over there, because I've got 25 days left on this. But yeah, closest thing to Theme Park, the video game, I reckon, on this. That's quite good. And then Vagrant Song, Encore and Off the Rails expansion. Now, I haven't played the original, but watching the Dice Towers preview of Essen, no, wasn't that. It was a top 10 co-op games. This came up in pretty much all three of their lists, I believe. The Vagrant Song. Okay. It's got that weird kind of old school artwork, like the old Disney cartoon artwork kind of style. I think it's in the same universe as Cuphead, or like that style, if you know what I mean. My internet's working
kind of
really
thing,
slowly. It's nothing's loading up on my side. But it's basically a cooperative boss battler game, and it's meant to. It's actually, they've all said it's not as hard as co-op as a lot of other co-op games are. You know, where it's like really hard, it's really difficult to beat it. And they said actually it's not. Yeah. It's on the lighter side of that. So, but it's still fun in it. And if it was on, like at least two of them had it on their top 10. Of co-op games, it's got to be worth a work look at. So again, this will be another one I'm going to go to Essen and have a look at, if because I'm pretty sure it's there as well. And see it. My mate Marcus, I believe he listens to the podcast, he absolutely loves the Vagrant Song. I'm actually sad I've turned him down playing it, so I kind of wish I have now. Took him up on his offer on it, but so yeah. I will be checking out those two when I go to Essen and making my choice or decision then.
Sounds good, yeah.
Cool. You have to let us know about the Theme Park Mania, because that does look quite cool.
I will. I will let you know. Check out
And while you're there, could you also pop into AEG and have a look at Undergrove? Which is the new upcoming Elizabeth Hargrave game piece.
Oh, what a great segue. Yes, I will. definitely go and check out Undergrave, which is coming to Kickstarter.
That's a bit disappointing. I was hoping it'd be a straight to retail, in honesty.
Do
they tend to do Kickstarter? I can't remember if you do much Kickstarter stuff.
They do. They're a bit loose with it. I don't know. The games sometimes just go straight to retail, and sometimes we're Kickstarter. Yeah.
Well, they kickstarted Dead Reckoning, didn't they?
Right.
Which is like a big Kickstarter. But then they self print like Point Salad and Smash Ups and all that sort of stuff. None of that's kickstarted. So
this one is coming to Kickstarter in November.
Yeah.
It's the new Elizabeth Hargrave game.
Yeah, and mushrooms. this year's and next year's theme mushrooms, of choice yeah. is mushrooms and mycelial networks. So, unfortunately, yeah. Elizabeth getting there after everyone else. Everyone else must have heard that this was underway, and they were like, "Get our mushroom game out now!"
Yeah, so, probably.
There's like two coming out at Essen, and they're both called mycelia. So, there's one on Kickstarter called Mycelium, and it's just oh my god, mushrooms.
They love it.
But yeah, I'm excited. I don't know anything about it. They've not released any real information about Undergrove yet. But so far, so good with Elizabeth Hargrave stuff. I really like everything she's designed. So I can't wait to see what that's like.
Yeah, definitely. Nothing's opening up for me, so I can't look at anything.
You can't even see it.
No references for you.
Nope.
Just go with the recording, and that's all you need to do. So the last one on the coming soon list is Takanoko Oyako, which is the reprint of the giant Takanoko Collector's Edition with the, what does it say, 250% bigger tiles and figurines and the big wooden box and everything. Mm. So this is coming
13 centimeter tall pandas.
Panda, yeah. Oh, it's amazing. So this is coming to Kickstarter at some point. I'm not sure exactly when. But we'll have a link in the show notes to the Matagot website, which is who is publishing it. This is probably way out of my price range, but it is just beautiful. The huge pieces and the huge board and the huge box. Mm. It would be lovely.
It's one of those games. One of the first hobby games I got was Takanoko. When I first went to Clifton Road Games in Exeter, and I just went, I want to go and buy something. And I think at that point I'd got Ticket to Ride. And then I went into Clifton Road thinking I'm just going to go and have a look and maybe spend 20-30 quid. And I was just chatting to the dude there, and he said, "Oh, this is the one you want." He didn't look like he was the kind of guy that wanted to play it, but he was like, "Yeah, try this. This is what you want." Takanoko, and I thought, "Ooh, pandas, that looks cool." Bought it. I think it was only like 20. I think even then it was only 25 quid. And absolutely love it, obviously. And then I realised there was a super duper fancy big version, but it was going to cost like 300. There was no way I was going to buy it at that point. But it's the kind of game, I would definitely look at it now, or if I was at that stage of my game playing, I think. I'm kind of over it now. I don't think many people I play with would play Takanoko generally, but if you want that kind of statement piece, kind of collector's item, then you can't get much bigger and more beautiful than this. Yeah,
it's
pretty special. And the one thing that everyone complained about with the Chibis expansion was there are no little mini baby pandas. When you play the game, when you play the expansion, you realise why there aren't any, because it would be pointless.
this does have them in?
It does, as an extra. So you can just have little model Chibi pandas for whatever reason you want them. It makes no sense for the gameplay. They will not be used in the gameplay. So they're there if just for the people that really want them. But it's nice that they've done it as a little extra.
Yep.
I expect this will be about a 400 pounder.
Yeah, they've already done this before. I thought they had a wooden box.
Yeah, it was 300 quid. I'm pretty sure it was 300 quid before, and this has got more stuff and bigger. So I think it's going to be about 400 quid, 350-400 quid. I bet.
Yeah.
I mean, I like it, but not 300 pounds worth of
It's got to be the game you love, isn't it? That's the thing. And because it's a family game, a lot of families kind of have it and love playing it together, then that's the kind of one you're going to go, let's get that. I bet they're not expecting to sell 10,000 copies, but they'll hope to get a print run of 1,000 and sell the lot, I would guess.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. Right.
And that's all our crowdfunders. What a list.
Yeah.
Popular time, clearly, to start crowdfunders.
And now we're going to talk about 30 more games.
So what we've been playing, one major game I've been playing that I really liked instantly, not instantly, but halfway through, Great Western Trail New Zealand. So this is in the line of the Great Western Trail. This is the third one of it. It's pretty much the same as the original, but adds a lot more stuff. So you are now dealing, and it's cheap.
And sheep.
Oh, sheep.
Sheep instead of cows.
I was going to say, I don't think it's cheap.
It's not cheap, but... it's the same price as the others. But...
no, it's got sheep in it, yes. Main thing, you're dealing with sheep.
Yeah.
But not only are you taking a sheep for slaughter, but you also can sell their wool. So you've got two economies going on that you can use, which is quite cool. So, but then also it takes the aspect of the expansion to Great Western Rails and has that kind of put onto the side with this other board where you're sailing a ship around and you're putting stuff and swapping your people you pick up and putting it there. So there's quite a lot going on. And as I said to Ian, he's like, this is great. I love this. But I don't think you can give this to new people. You've got to give them Great Western Trail. So this is the game. And then build them up. And then you get to New Zealand. Because what I really liked about New Zealand, it actually did proper deck building in it. Where you are not just kind of getting new cows and putting it in there and getting occasional scoring card that will come out. You actually can purchase other cards that go into your deck, and when they come out, you play them, you get a benefit like two coins or move your boat two spaces, but it then allows you to draw a card from your deck to replenish your hand. And at one point, I think I played about eight of these cards down in one turn, because that's what it allows you to do. And I was just like, this is amazing, this is real deck building, this is what I love, kind of thing. So so it still had the aspects of Great Western Trail. Still got the weird thing of sheep turning up your hand, and you're trying to get the different sets to score bigger at the end of the route. Your board does a lot more, kind of thing. So your player board in front of you does a lot more. There's lots of different things, and I think I won quite not too big. But yeah, there's a second track called the Kingfisher track. So you go up, you can earn Kingfisher points, basically going up this track, and it'll give you more stuff to do. And there's certain spots on the board that you're not allowed to put your buildings on until you've reached that spot on the Kingfisher board or higher. Or track, I should say. So yeah, I really enjoyed it. But yeah, if I was new to the game, I would have felt overwhelmed. So
yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I'm going to want to play it.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sure Ian would love to play it with you.
Oh, he's been trying to get me to play with it. I just haven't had time.
Yeah.
But I've told him my interest. So yeah, definitely.
Awesome.
I'll get this to the table at some point.
Yeah.
It's really cool. I haven't been playing much yet this last 2 weeks. Not a lot. New, but I have been playing yet more Forest Shuffle on BGA because it's a lot of fun. I finished my first game of it, which was a two-player game, the other day, and it was really tight right up until about the last 10 cards played, and then my opponent managed to jump over 100 points ahead of me and ended up with like 430 points. It was insane. And I was down on 300 and something, but it was great fun. And then we played our three-player game between our co-hosts, which was good, and Sam managed to squeak a win out of that. Very good.
Good old horse chestnuts.
So we're in the rematch now. Oh, those horse chestnuts, they're good. I was going full on bat strategy, I think. Bats and deer and lynx and wolves and things. Didn't quite. I almost got there. I was like 5 points behind you. Yeah, it's great fun. Still enjoying that. Other than that, I've basically been reading a lot of rule books for all of these Essen games that have been announced on the Essen preview, just to try and get more information, because a lot of them don't have any video playthroughs yet, and the summaries are fairly basic usually, and so the ones that I was really interested in, if they had a rule book, I've been having a skim through some of those rules, so that's obviously, it takes a lot of time reading a lot of rule books, so that's all I've managed to get done the last 2 weeks, plus obviously sorting through all the Essen releases, seeing what's coming out.
I mean, talking about Game Arena, I actually have played a game on there that is really broken.
Really? Right.
We had to abandon because it was so broken. We were playing New York Zoo. I love that game. Yeah. It's a great game. The basics tile filling, tile laying game, and putting the animals in there and getting it. But the way the game ends is once someone has filled up their sheet. Okay?
Yep.
The problem was is that you can get these extra tiles when you fill up a enclosure with animals. You then get a free kind of, they're called exhibits, and they're just basically filler tiles to go into your zoo. And none of us could place a single tile on the board. Couldn't pick them up, couldn't move them. And I went into the bugs service of it, yeah. And there's so many people highlighting this is a problem. In the end, it took me to go back into the game and said, shall we just call this a day? Because no one's going to be able to finish this game. And they're like, yeah, you're right. Yeah, okay. And so we cancel the game. So yeah, we do come across games that are not being fully implemented. But that's why the alpha and beta services are there, aren't they, really?
So indeed. Although we did manage to break Forest Shuffle for about an hour.
You did.
You did.
I did, yeah. I don't know why I did do it. It wouldn't load on my laptop. It wouldn't load on my phone. It just kept on saying there was a server error and it couldn't connect to the internet. And yet I can still access the BGA page fine. So I don't know what was up with it. And then now later, it was about literally 5 minutes after I submitted the bug report, it started working again, which I always find suspicious. You submit it and then you think, oh, well, someone's going to fiddle the database there to just reset it. And then it was fine after that. But
awesome.
Yeah, it happens sometimes.
Sam, you got anything to add, or are you?
No, I've unfortunately not been able to play very much at all since we last recorded, apart from Clank, like I said. So nothing really to report. Yeah,
bit sad. I'll just have Clank on the list. It's important.
Got to get the stats.
I did manage to beat you guys at Heat though on BGA as well, so that was good.
Oh yeah, that was the other big news. It's like Board Game Arena gods were listening to us, and then suddenly, soon after we finished, as we done recording, pops Heat on Alpha Gaming on Board Game Arena. So
it's now in beta as well, so it's now open for other people to play. So
and it's a nice implementation as well. It's
really cool. It seems to work, and they're updating it still now. There's now a route. Yep. The latest game one of the games I'm playing now, it's introduced a bit where it actually sort of plots, shows you a line showing where your car's going to travel. So it's not just move certain spaces; it sort of plots the path for you and stuff.
That's really helpful.
That's quite good.
Yeah.
And in further alpha news, there's a couple of new ones that have actually hit alpha since then that might be worth considering in the future. 3,000 Scoundrels, which is actually quite good. I've played it, I quite like it. There's also Praga Caput Regni, which I think is a Vladimir Succi game. It's quite an interesting one. If I remember rightly, got like a kind of 3D element to it. I can't remember exactly what it's about, but that might be quite a good one for the kind of heavier Euro types. And Dog Park is also on there now.
Oh, cool.
Which I got rid of my copy because it was worth something for a brief moment in time, so I got rid of it. But it's a really pleasant little game, and I think it'll actually work a lot easier as a BGA game as well. And again, another one that just looks really nice, so I think that will do quite well on that.
Very good.
And the new one, Sky Team, which I'm not interested in at all because it's a cooperative one, but that's an Essen release from Scorpion Mask. That's in alpha right now.
I wonder how that's going to work on there. Yeah.
What's interesting is that it's going on to BGA before it actually releases as a purchasable game, which is quite interesting.
Yeah, that's amazing. Very cool. Yeah, they're doing some good stuff on BGA.
Yeah. The Asmodee purchase is kind of helping get some of these licensed titles through, I think.
Yeah.
Somehow.
It certainly is.
Definitely is. Yeah, I need a rematch on our Heat game because I came last, I think, in that.
Yeah, I managed to spin out twice and not come last. I was really impressed. I don't know how I managed that.
I went round two corners and I realised, shit, I've gone round two corners. And I just like kept on going and kept on going. I just lost track of what I was doing. I was just like, and then I go all the way back to the beginning. Right, okay. Don't think I'm going to win this. So, anyway.
That's funny.
So that's it. Except for Star Trek Discovery. Nick wants to talk about.
Yeah, well, you mentioned mycelial networks. I thought I'd put that on there as well. Because I mentioned last episode I started rewatching Star Trek Discovery, and I'm now just at the end of season 3 of my rewatch. I'm thoroughly enjoying it still. I still don't know what the bad ratings were about.
No.
Discovery.
I think it's largely because it wasn't like classic Trek, isn't it, is the thing.
Yeah.
I think
that's it was such a difference. But yes, rewatching it in retrospect, there's some really, really good storylines going through, especially the arc story.
Season
2 was brilliant.
When we were actually talking about mushrooms and we were talking about mycelium, that was the first thing that came to mind was the the story arc in Discovery. I was just like,
yeah.
Okay. But I love Discovery. I don't know what the problem is with it as well.
It's the traditional Trek heads that don't like it.
Yeah,
they like the new Next Generation style.
The very monster of a week single kind episode, of, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Whereas which is why they love the what's the new one? Strange New Worlds.
Strange New Worlds.
Yeah, that one's much.
I mean,
more
that has a overarching arc, stories and character development across them all. Which is really interesting, but it does have, they are more episodic,
yeah,
in the way they go.
But yeah, they're all combining, aren't they? It's all meant to be one universe, in a way, isn't it?
Yeah,
especially
Strange
New Worlds.
Different
ones now, isn't it? Yeah,
and Lower Decks now is because there's that crossover now is officially part of that canon as well. That's next on my list is Lower Decks season 3.
I think it is. Yeah, I'd be well into it if they did a crossover with that Beth MacFarlane series now as well.
The Orville.
Oh, yeah.
Good. So I don't know how they would do a crossover there, because that is set on Earth as well. So that's, yeah, it'd be like an alternate universe, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
It would, yeah.
That would be funny.
Very funny if they could somehow pull that off.
But other than that, I'm still trying to complete my first game in Starfield. But...
Well, it's a game that you never complete, pretty much, isn't it? The idea.
Yeah.
I mean, you complete the story, you complete the main story, but you can just play forever, essentially.
Definitely.
But I'm getting sidetracked with it all. I'm just doing loads of all the little side quests and separate little faction missions and stuff like that. I haven't touched the main mission yet.
Really? See, I'm trying to cannon through the main mission. But I'm a bit like you. I suddenly get, oh, what's this over here? I'll go and do, oh, it's another little mission. I'll do this quickly and then get back to the main mission.
I'm quite like it, just landing on random planets where it says like there's an abandoned science outpost or something. You find there's a big pile of space pirates there, and I just plow through them all, killing them all. The trouble is, I end up with piles and piles of stuff that I don't know what to do with. So I take it all back to the safe at the lodge and just dump. I've got like probably about 59 metric tons of crap in one safe.
Yeah.
one hack I've seen for some of the people complaining about the lack of storage is that I think at one point when you do, and I'm assuming it's the loyalty mission you get with one of the companions, Barrett, you get like an apartment, and basically people have gone, oh yeah, where do you keep all your weapons? And this one guy just kind of goes to the apartment. And just chucks them all around. There's room full of guns, and they don't, because it's your apartment, nothing changes, no one steals anything or anything, so it's just left there. Yeah. So you've just got this room that you can store shit in.
Well, another hack I saw was doing the same thing, but do it on your ship, chuck it all on the floor, and then go to ship crafting, and then when you craft your ship, or do something to your ship and save it, you go back in, it's all gone, but it's all been put into storage. And it's way over capacity, but it doesn't affect you. It's just there. So it's just like, because I've done that. I've just gone to my ship and I was like, I don't want this, don't want that. Chucked it on the floor and it's been there for ages, the stuff. Yeah. So
the fun one I saw yesterday was how to steal from people like a pro. And it's like you kind of carry a tray or a basket or whatever, so that you can pick up these kind of random things. You can essentially pick up a tray and then... you go along the video shows it as like this dude in a casino, and he goes along to these casino tables where there's just like those cred sticks on the table.
Yeah.
Obviously, if you just pick them up, you're stealing. But he's got this, so he puts this tray right just underneath the table, over, you know, overhanging the table a little bit, and then he gets another, picks up another item, and then pushes all the cred sticks off the table so it lands on the tray. Then you pick up the tray again, which isn't thieving because it's your tray. Then you take it to the toilet, close the door, and then you pick up all the cred sticks. I'm gonna have to try that. That looks like a good way to do it.
How do you pick up stuff? I've not been able to figure that.
I don't know.
Out.
I'm not sure. I'm gonna have to research how they did it in that, because I'm not sure if that's just maybe something that was on PC only or something.
Maybe.
There's a little kind of patch or something. I don't know. But yeah, it looked funny doing it. So I have to give that a try.
Yeah, I've seen that. The people just knock guns out of the room to the back room and then pick it up kind of thing. Using item. But yeah. Yeah, good old fun.
Yeah.
Right. Let's close this out and then get on with the next one. Because we're sadistic.
Yeah.
Right, Nick's just disappeared when we're about to finish. Anyway, thank you for listening to the podcast. Please leave a comment or suggestion of what we've been talking about on this show. It's always grateful. Pop along to the Discord channel. As you said, we have fun in the Discord channel and you can see what we're laughing about most of the time. And yeah, check out the show notes. All we talk about in the show is in the show notes there. Nick does a fabulous job of linking it all. So yeah, you can go and find everything you need in there. And it's just for me, I'm kind of panning because Nick disappeared for 3 minutes and he's back.
I'm here. I figured you'd be talking about Starfield for hours. So.
No. So yeah, just like to say goodbye from me and goodbye from the guys.
Cheerio.
Goodbye, everybody.